Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And this is going to be a passage that we're going to be preaching. And so let's go there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling." That means slander for slander. "But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil," "and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Oh, the Lord's showing me something about peace. And, you know, sometimes we just think peace is just going to fall on us like a feather. And just, you know, just falls on. We got to pursue it. So you have to work at it. Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, to their cries." Oh, thank you, God. Even when I whine, God, you listen to me. Can we hear amen? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Listen, if you become followers of Jesus Christ, who is he or who is she who will harm you? Verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." I want to just interject Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, because this is one of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 15, this is a key verse for today's message. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." Set your heart apart from everything else and give it to God. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Meekness and fear towards God. "Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, who slander your good conduct in Christ would be ashamed." How are they going to be ashamed? They got no evidence. They got no proof. Why? Because of your good conduct in Jesus Christ. Verse 17, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." I wonder how many of you already checked out because I just read that verse. Wait a minute. I got to suffer for doing good. I got to suffer for. Yeah, listen. "It is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to us that we may apply to our lives, that we may correct whatever needs to be corrected, and that we would be comforted by your word, Lord. Encourage, God. Lord, we thank you, God, for this day, for this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Slide one, please, Joe. This month, we're focused on missions. February is Missions Month. And this month, it's entitled Love with Purpose. Last Sunday night, you missed it. I shared a message on how we are to go with purpose. Those of you that go to Walmart, you go to Walmart for groceries or whatever, or maybe just because you got nothing else to do. You go to Walmart. You go to a library to check out a book. You go to the gym to work out. There's purpose. But what we have to learn and understand is that there is a higher purpose. See, because if I go to the gym to work out, there's something more important than me working out. It's me being open to the words of God, to the voice of God, and me being able to see an opportunity to witness and share Jesus. You see, if I go to the gym, it's not just about me, is it? It's not just about you. Although all of us are focused on me. Hey, you know, lose weight, get more muscle, get in shape. When you go to the gym, it's not just about you. Open your ears, open your eyes and say, "Lord, who do you want me to witness to? Who do you want me to say something to? Who do you want me to invite?" You see, in our going, there needs to be purpose. You go to Walmart. There's so many people in Walmart today. There's got to be somebody that you want me to say something to. My ears are open, God. Lord, if you want to send anybody, here I am. You can send me. God, my eyes are open. Is there somebody hurting? Nobody else can see somebody hurting, but you can. God, is there somebody that you want me to meet up or talk to or just invite or just share something? It's possible, and I know it's kind of weird, but it's possible that someone can walk up to you or you can walk up to somebody and God has given you a specific phrase. That don't make difference. It doesn't make any sense to you. But it's just a phrase. And you might fight it because you're in aisle 5. But once you get to aisle 12, you bump into that same person and God says, "Hey, right now, It is possible if you're looking and if you're listening. Go with purpose. So today and this month, we're talking about love with purpose. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness." There are people today who believe that God has forgotten them. I hope that's not you today, but if that's you today, please listen to this word, because God is going to remind you he has not forgotten you, and he loves you, and he's given you purpose, because he has purpose. And that all the things that he's done has purpose. So he has not forgotten you. Some people, they think God has forgotten or God is slacking on his job. He is long-suffering toward you, toward us. The fact that you're here and you don't know the Lord like you should, a great, great example of how he is long-suffering. Yesterday could have been your last day. Today he's given you. Today is the day of salvation. And so he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'm excited because this month is Missions Month. We have 21 missionaries that our church supports. I find that as a blessed opportunity. For some people, it goes over their head. They don't understand it. Well, why is it such a blessed opportunity? I get to have an impact in the lives of people that I may never meet on this side of heaven so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. But for some people, I got other problems. I got other bills. I got other issues going on in my life. They don't see it. They don't catch it. It's, you know, it just goes over their head. It is a blessed opportunity of ours here at Hidden Treasures that we got 21 missionaries, and I'm listening and I'm looking for God to see if God wants us to add missionaries. I'm excited. I want to add missionaries. When God says add them, we're going to add them. Why? Because there are so many people out there that don't know the Lord. And for us here in little small Camden County, we get to have this blessed opportunity of impacting the lives of someone who is lost and they'll come to know Christ. So we have 21 missionaries that we pray for and financially support. Just as our missionaries go to share Jesus, we have to understand our responsibility to go. And some of you are like, well, he ain't telling me to go to Africa. He ain't telling me to go to China. He ain't told me to go anywhere. So then go here. You're in Camden County. Go. You live in St. Mary's. Go. You live in Kingsland. Go. You live in Woodbine. Go. You live in Browntown. Go. God demonstrated his love with purpose. And how? Well, he gave Jesus, and he just didn't allow Jesus to just stay dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus demonstrated his love with purpose. He died for our sins, and he gives us a new life. As Christians who are Christ-like, we must love with purpose to tell the good news that Jesus saves. I always feel responsible to inform you this verse, or this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. It's something that, just in case someone believes that they're not responsible to share Jesus, I always feel that it's my responsibility to correct you on that little fault and to remind you that we are all given a responsibility. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry. Everyone say ministry. Of reconciliation. Now look to the person to your right or your left and say, hey, you got that ministry. Some of you didn't even look at the person next to you. You're like, ah, you ain't talking to me. Yeah, they're talking to you. You have been given the ministry. And so has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are all ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. Not in anybody else, but in Jesus. Christians, we have become new creations in Christ Jesus. Christians, a new life has begun when we accepted Christ. A new purpose began when we accepted Christ. New goals, new lifestyle, all because of Jesus. And we have been given this ministry. It's been given to every believer to reconcile the lost to God through Christ. You see, some people think, well, hey, I pray for missionaries. That's enough. That's not enough. It's not enough. We find in Scripture where it's not enough. We find that Paul's ministry, people financed his ministry and helped him get from A to B to C. And there was, and we find it in Scripture. So just to pray is not enough. To be able to say, well, I don't have much. We all have something to give. It is discovered through Scripture and in the life of Christ, his disciples and followers, that we must go teach, proclaim, demonstrate the kingdom of God, that the good news is Jesus saves. That we all must tell people that there is a hell to stay out of and there's a heaven to run to. Nowhere in Scripture does it say your faith in Christ is so personal, you get to keep it to yourself and it's a secret. We don't find that in the life of Christ. We don't find that in the life of his disciples. We don't find that in the lives of the martyrs who gave their lives for Jesus. And it wasn't because they were secret saints, because they proclaimed the gospel. Peter and John were arrested and beaten, and they were told, stop telling people about Jesus. To their response, man, you want us to believe and listen to man or God? I don't know about you, but we're not listening to man. We're going to listen to God. We can't keep it in. So here we are today. We're focusing on missions this month, but more importantly, we're focusing on love with purpose. You see, to love people, to love your neighbor, it's got to be a purpose. I mean, the fact that to love you guys, it's got to be a purpose of your pastors and the teachers to love you, that will pray for you, that will prepare to teach you and equip you with what God's word says. You're not projects. You're people. You're God's people. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters from another mother. I mean, that's who you guys are. And our love that God has called us to this place. I never imagined that when I was 10 years, how many of you, when you were 8 or 10 years old, you imagined or picture yourself being a doctor, a policeman, a fireman, maybe what you are today, you're in the military and you thought that you're going to be in the military when you were a little kid. I never thought when I was 8 or 10 years old that I'm going to be a pastor of a church. God has called us. God has called me to preach the gospel. And it's something that I feel so privileged. And sometimes it's like, God, I'm not even worthy, but I'm reminded I've called you to tell people, to teach people, to proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news that Jesus says, that there's a hell to stay out of and a heaven to run to. There is a Savior who died for us. Slide 2. I came to this conclusion of, I asked myself a bunch of these questions and preparing for this sermon. Why do they do it? Why do missionaries go? Well, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, then why aren't all you guys going? There's a calling. I was so blessed and privileged to be a small part of a young man who was called to be a missionary. I was praying for him at a youth conference or at a youth camp, and I just was praying for him. I closed my eyes, and this guy's American, and I closed my eyes, and I saw little dark brown kids, light brown kids just all around him. There was water behind them. It wasn't really tropical. It's all I saw. I'm like, dude, I don't know if this is a beach or if this is a lake, but I just see you in the midst of a bunch of brown kids, light brown, dark brown, just a bunch of brown kids. And he started to cry a little. And then later on, he showed me that was a confirmation that God was calling him to be a missionary to, I can't remember where, what country. And I thought that was an honor. I mean, God, wow, me? You're going to give that vision to me? And I was going to play a part in a confirmation in this guy's life. And he went, and I was just so blessed when he shared a picture. He's riding, he knows how to ride a unicycle. And there's a bunch of kids around him. Some light skin. Brown skin, dark brown skin kids are all around him, and he's on the mission field. He went for a short-term mission trip, and he's on his unicycle, and all these kids are just all amazed because guy's on this one wheel. And so, but he goes there to share Jesus. You see, I believe that God has called some of you. And I'm thinking, God, why do missionaries go? Why do missionaries leave the comfort of home, the comfort of family? I mean, their kids can't see grandma and grandma but every 4 years, or unless grandma and grandpa fly over to the other side of the world. I mean, why do they leave the comfort of the U.S.? Today, some people are saying they want to leave the U.S. Go ahead if you want to go. But, I mean, the U.S., there's comfort here. Why would missionaries leave the United States? Why would they choose to learn a language? These are all these questions boiling in my mind. Why would missionaries go somewhere they might not be welcomed? Why would missionaries choose to tell people that they don't know and who might not want to know that Jesus saves? I came up with this answer. I'm not a missionary to the world or, you know, to Africa or to China or wherever. I'm not a missionary there, but this is my answer. After all that time of just asking these questions, God demonstrated his love to send Jesus for the lost, and the lost need to be found. See, these missionaries that I know of, they've taken upon themselves God's calling on their life to save the lost. You see, to save the lost is more important, let's just say, than your nest egg. To save the lost is more important than rising up the ladder of success here in the United States. You see, because when these missionaries got a call on their life, some when they were kids, some when they were teenagers, some while they're in their middle age, I mean, they received the call of God on their life to go pick up their family, go to the other side of the world, or maybe just go to Mexico, right down south, maybe go up to Canada, maybe go somewhere outside of the United States to be a missionary and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because saving the lost means so much for them. It matters. It carries such a heavy weight on them. That you know what they'll do? They'll sell their house. They'll sell their cars. They'll take their kids out of school. Then they'll start homeschooling them. They might leave their business, sell their business, and they go to the other side of the United States or the other side of the world, outside of the U.S., and become a missionary. It matters to them. You see, in all of this, and in the passage, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, not sometimes, not on the weekends, but to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How many of us are ready? How many of us are preparing to be ready of anyone who asks us about the hope that is in us? Why? It's interesting that Brian was talking about why this morning. Because that's why. Why do you go? Missionary, why do you give up everything? Missionary, why are you going and putting your life on the line to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it matters so much to them. I think that if we were to poll a bunch of missionaries, their responses will vary in description, but it'll all point to the purpose of why Jesus came. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That matters. That matters that whatever success, whatever's going on here in the U.S. has now become not so important. And now the saving of the lost has become important. Why do missionaries become missionaries? Are missionaries better Christians? No, they're not. They've answered God's call, and I believe that God has called some of you. You're either fighting the call, you're either ignoring the call, or maybe he hasn't called you yet. Or maybe he never will call you. Because where you're at and what you're doing, the neighborhood you live in, he wants you to be a missionary there. We are encouraging, I don't know how long it's been, but we've always encouraged our students since we were youth pastors to picture themselves stepping onto that school campus as a missionary and as a spokesperson for Jesus. That in what they say and in their conduct and how they treat other students, how they treat teachers, it would be because they are Christians that people will be able to tell them apart. Why? Because those students are Christians themselves. Why would we push them or encourage them to be any other way? They're followers of Jesus Christ. Should we not picture ourselves where you work, where you live, where you shop? As the moment you step onto that place, onto that property, I am a spokesperson for Jesus Christ. I am a missionary here on this property. And I am going to prepare myself and be ready that if somebody asks me of the hope that's in me, of the faith that's in me, that I will be able to answer. Instead of just saying, you go to that church down there and they'll tell you. What has Jesus done for you? What has the Lord saved you from? Maybe he won't call you, but he's definitely called you to go here. Slide 3. I shared last Sunday also about this statistic that I saw from Lifeway Research. It's an article from 2012. A poll was taken and it was broken down into 3 segments: prayer, share, and invite. It says that 80% of the Christians that were polled agreed that they have a personal responsibility to share their faith, to share Jesus, to share their religious beliefs about Jesus with non-Christians. And I'm going to read this real quick for those of you that you can't see. But it says, prayer. How often I pray for the spiritual status of people who I know are not professing Christians. Listen, 47% of the people said every day to a few times a week they pray for people who are not Christians to know Christ. 32% said between once a week and once a month, do I pray for non-Christians to be Christians? 20% said rarely or never. Don't you ever be one of those 20% now. All right. It is important that we understand praying is important. Is to get our ears and our eyes focused on God, to where if God wants us to talk to somebody, if God allows us to see somebody who is hurting, that we will be able to have that opportunity to plant seed, be the answer, pray for them, or help them to know Jesus. Now, the next one is share. It says, in the past 6 months, this is what tripped me out. In the past 6 months, about how many times I have shared how to become a Christian. Now, 80%, again, 80%. Said that they believe, they agree that they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. But 61% of the people that were polled said in the last 6 months they have not shared how to become a Christian to someone. 25% said 1 to 2 times they have. 14% said that 3 or more times they have. Now the last one is invite. Now, all of the cards that we buy, the invited cards, the Christmas cards, the Easter cards, the backpack to school cards, all those, you know, invited cards that the church buys, you better be passing them out. But listen, in the past 6 months, about how many times I have invited an unchurched person to attend church service or program? 48% said 0 times. I'm thinking, who are these people that they're polling? Lord, 80% said that they agree that they have that they have the responsibility to share Jesus with someone. But 48% have in the last 6 months have invited 0 to church or a service program. 33% said, oh, 1 or 2 times. 19% said 3% or more times. And I said, God, I pray this has gotten better and not worse. And I prayed, Lord, all of us in Hidden Treasures, I pray that we would become more responsible in sharing our faith. It is our responsibility because God has told us to go. Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16. We have all been given a ministry, as we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, to reconcile the lost to God through Jesus Christ. And this is the great thing. I don't have to do it. God does it through me. He does the majority of the work. I just have to surrender and be humble to God and say, God, here I am. Send me. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3. Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We have to understand this and realize that God's going to do it in us. He's going to do the majority of the work. All we have to understand is we are His spokespeople. We are to speak on His behalf. He gives us this message. He gives us Christ. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, Jesus says, unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 15 of 1 Peter 3, it says, we must always be ready to answer. Answer what? Our why. Why are you a believer? Why is your life changed? Why don't you drink anymore? Why don't you cuss anymore? Why has your life changed? What's going on? It's because who is in your life? And are you really ready to answer? What a letdown that would be. If you have not prepared yourself or have not readied yourself to know what to say. Hey, you know what? Practicing in front of the mirror, it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's not a sin. But to prepare yourself, that if someone was to say, there's something different about you, what is it? Oh, I just got my hair tinted. No, it's not about your hair. No, it's not about your clothes. It's who's inside of you, who's changing you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we find scripture that Peter says, you must always be ready. Look, that's not me that's saying it. It's the word of God that's telling us that we must always, not sometimes, but always be ready to answer. The why or the who is in your life and it's changing you. Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Is it your kids? No, it's Jesus. Slide 4. What is your why? 1 Corinthians 9:19. I talked about this on Wednesday, and I've been thinking about it all week long. Well, the last few days, because it's been Wednesday. But the last few days, Paul says this: even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Real quick, Paul was saying to some Jewish people, I'll understand how they live, what they think. To weak people, I'll understand how they think, what's going on in their life, just so that I can win them to Jesus. And he says, I have become a slave to all people to bring as many to Christ. Let's be honest. I hope you can be honest with yourself. You can fool other people, but you can't fool God. And I know you can't fool yourself. Do you really want to lead the lost to Jesus? And some of you, real quick, might answer yes. Let me just stop you real quick. Are you willing to pay the cost to win as many to Christ? Are you willing to prepare yourself? Are you willing to ready yourself that, man, if someone asks me, oh God, I'm excited. Let somebody come up to me today while I'm at Walmart and ask me about my faith. I'm excited. I'm ready. I know what to say because it's coming from my heart. And it's not going to be verbatim from a card. I'm not going to write it in my hand. It's in my heart because, Jesus, I know what you've done for me. I know what you saved me from. I used to be a drunk, but now I'm not a drunk. I used to be high all the time, but now I'm in my right mind. And Jesus, you've saved me. You've changed me. I used to be down and out and depressed and taking pills and just thinking ugly about myself. But I know who I am now. I'm a child of the Most High God and his spirit lives inside of me. Apostle Paul gives clear indication through his life that he wants people to know Jesus. Not just to hear about Jesus, but to discover that he's the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. What say you? What do you say? Why are you living for the Lord? Why are you? I mean, why do you have this hope? And who is your hope? And if Jesus is your hope, are you ready and available to answer to whoever asks? When people ask about the reason for the hope that is in you, what should you say? What will you say? Josiah, if you can come on up here real quick, and Melissa, I can get you to help. And this is just one of my ways of giving you something. I would just like to give this. It's called the Romans Road. If you can give this to maybe not every individual, but every family, every person. If you'd like to have it, you know, that'd be great. If you don't, then don't receive it. But again, I want to mention to you, 61% said 0 times in the last 6 months they did not share how to become a Christian. 48% said 0 times in the last 6 months they did not invite someone to church. 20% said rarely or never did they pray for non-Christians to come to know Christians, to come to know Christ. And I found this Romans Road to Salvation. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 10, Romans 10:13. Now, all of those might be very difficult if I was to say this right now. By next week, memorize all of those. Whoa, that's a little bit too rough for me, Pastor. I don't think I could do that. Till Jesus comes, can you commit to memorize these scriptures or maybe other scriptures to be ready to share with someone what you already know because Jesus is your Lord and Savior? It is mind-boggling to me that 48% will not invite someone to Jesus, someone to church. That 61%, thank you, that 61% in the last 6 months will have not placed themselves in an opportunity to share Jesus. Why? Why? Why pass the buck and think it's the pastor's job or missionaries around the world to do it while I live in this podunk town, this small town called Kingsland, this small town called Woodbine, and I don't need to? You have the responsibility. Don't pass it to anybody else, because listen, if you pass the buck and pass the responsibility to someone else, you are disobedient to God. Because it's not Rick that's telling you to go and preach the gospel. It's not Rick telling you to share Jesus, to let your light shine, to be the salt of the earth. That's not Rick telling you that. That's the Word of God telling us that. And so with our love, with purpose, I think a lot of people are loving complacent with complacency. Whenever they feel like it, whenever they want to, whenever they got the time, I'll demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. That's not with His purpose. That's with my complacency. Whenever I got time, with my purpose. That's like when I go to Walmart, I'm just going to go in there, get whatever I need and leave. It breaks my heart when that happens. And I say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. There have been times I turned around. I was already on Highway 40. I was already by the Ford dealership. And I turned around and went back to Walmart. I said, God, is there somebody? Is there somebody? There have been times where if this has happened to you, this is not trying to put you on a guilt trip. But listen, where the person that God was telling you once or twice to go up to and talk to and share this and you didn't. But then you said, okay, God, I'll be obedient, okay. And you go inside and they're gone. Could it be their last day? Could it be their last day and you did not? That's where I'm thankful of God's mercy. Because God doesn't just strike me down and just, zap me and I'm dead because I didn't do what He told me to do. I'm thankful for mercy, but I'm not going to trample on His mercy and say, if I forget somebody, if I don't tell anybody, that's all right, God will forgive me. I'm just stepping on His mercy and His forgiveness. I'm not accepting or treating His love and His forgiveness correctly. Am I? Because if that's the case, hey, let's all go to the club tonight because tomorrow the Lord's going to forgive us anyway. That's trampling on what Jesus has done. And to pass the buck is to trample on the responsibility that we have. That God has called us to this ministry to be able to reconcile those who are lost to God Himself only through Jesus Christ. I pray that we would desire to bring as many to Christ. And how is that going to happen? You know what? How that's not going to happen? While you sitting there and thinking, I'm going to do better. Quit thinking. Start praying. Start speaking it out. God, forgive me that I'm one of those 61%. God, I'm one of those 48%. Because in the last 6 months, I have not invited one person to church. God, forgive me. Because the Holy Spirit is breaking your heart right now. God, forgive me. God, I pray that you will help me to become more responsible of this gospel that you've given me, that you've placed within me, the love of God that has been poured in my heart. God, I have something to give to people. It's you. It's your love. It's your word. It's what you've already done. You've forgiven me. You've given mercy. That's what I can give away. But God, I'm going to commit to memorize, if not these scriptures, other scriptures that have meant so much to me that my life is changed now because of you, Jesus. Don't pass the buck. Don't pass that responsibility onto somebody else. Because if you do, you're in disobedience. Special time in prayer. Time with God will reveal who you are. Time with God will reveal your wrong. Time with God will reveal who you are and what you need to do. We can find it in Isaiah. Isaiah was in God's presence and he said, I'm done. I can't even speak. I'm undone. And God said, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here I am, God, send me. In the time spent with God, you will know who He is. You will know who you are. You will know that you are the called messenger that He's called you to be. Remember who you were before Christ and why you came to Christ. This is a great thing. Personal stories are awesome. Want to know why? Because no one can refute what God has done in you. You are the one. You're the walking. You're the walking miracle. Your testimony. No one can refute it. You weren't like that. I don't believe you. I don't care if you don't believe me, but that's the truth, and that's what the Lord has saved me and delivered me from. Personal stories. Know them. And again, don't be ashamed to practice in the mirror. Lord, I'm excited, but when someone asks me, I'm going to tell them. And I heard a preacher say, try to do it in 3 minutes. Under 3 minutes, share a testimony, share something. And because a lot of people, they may not have an hour and you're like, oh, I got a story to tell you. Now, don't take an hour. Shorten it. If 3 minutes seems too long to you, then a minute and a half. Shorten it. But be ready. Be ready with some scripture. Be ready with what He's done in you. I gave you slide five, and again, that's pretty much what's on here for those of you that didn't take one, but I have extras if you want to take one. And in closing, I just want to say this. You and I, we have no excuses. We just have God's commission. You and I are ministers of reconciliation. There is mercy here because the Lord gives mercy. To the unbeliever, if you are an unbeliever in this place, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can become reconciled to God. Surrender your life. Surrender your life. Admit that you are a sinner and confess your sins to Him. And surrender your life to Him, to the one who gives new life. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but you realize that you have failed to demonstrate that you are that you are His true witness, repent. Don't wallow in misery there. Don't wallow at all. I'll never get it right. I'll never be a good Christian. Don't wallow in that. Don't wallow in that guilt, because there's mercy provided for you today by God, by just repenting and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Help me. I commit my life to you, God. Help me to be more responsible with the good news that Jesus saves. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you commit to be ready to answer, just pray, God, I'm committing my life to you to be more responsible. I want my ears to be open, my eyes to be open, that when you want me to go, Lord, I'm going to shout out loud, here I am, Lord, send me. Go ahead and play a video, Joe. I just wanted to just encourage you today. There is mercy available. There is forgiveness available. And what I believe that God does not want is for us to stay the same. It's the missionary's job. It's the teacher's job. It's the youth pastor and the pastor's job. It's all of our job. As believers in Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility. But until you know why, and until it burns in your heart, I'm only going to make an assumption. So I'm not speaking negative. It might sound like I'm speaking negative. But if you don't make the time to understand why we need to win the lost, you won't. You'll be the 61%. You'll be the 40%. You'll continue to do that. Because in the back of your mind, you'll still hold on to that disobedient thought, it's not my responsibility, when it is. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We ask you, Almighty God, Lord, for you to move in a powerful way. Father, for you to speak to our hearts and our lives. If there's anyone here today that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to know Him. We want to share some word with you, some of God's words with you, that He knew you and that He provided a way of escape. He provided a way out. He provided salvation through His Son, Jesus. And if that's you today, we want to invite you to come forward.